Reuters is reporting that the carnage in Iraq goes on unabated. A car bomb was detonated in the mainly Shiite district of eastern Baghdad. So we've now hammered northern Baghdad, eastern Baghdad, and southern Baghdad. I guess the only thing now to hit would be western Baghdad. But a bomb was detonated, killing 8 people, wounding another 20. The bombing in the New Baghdad neighborhood followed a series of blasts in Iraq, in the capital on Friday and on Saturday and on Sunday, as well as on Monday, which killed more than 20 people. And the one on Monday plus the one on Friday that killed 70. You know, we invaded Afghanistan. America spent a lot of money there, squandered a lot of coin and blood. And this is what we left. Dateline, Kabul, Afghanistan. When the campaign team came under threat the day of the Afghan presidential runoff, the threat was not from the Taliban, but instead from the people who were supposed to be keeping order. An alliance of government officials, security forces, and supporters of the candidate, Ghani. Beaten and prevented from doing their job of using video equipment and cell phones to monitor the counts of the votes. The staff workers for candidate Abdullah Abdullah in the Coast Province spent June 24th watching fraud, but unable to do anything about it. In one polling center, they said they recorded just 500 voters, and the election officials counted votes for 10,531 individuals. So they videotaped people coming in to vote, and they counted 500 voters. But when the election officials turned in the ballots, they said there was a total of 10,531 votes cast in the building into which only 500 voters appeared. Well, I guess that's how you get the very high turnouts. You know, we're told, oh, wow, wonderful turnout. It kind of reminds me of America and Chicago, Illinois, where the instructions are to vote and to vote often. Imagine that. 500 voters cast 10,531 votes. That episode and many others like it led Abdullah, slave to Allah, to level accusations of a conspiracy by Ghani election officials and President Hamid Karzai to rig the vote. No kidding. Sherlock, what was your first clue? Plunging the country into crisis and creating a new threat of violence. Yes, democracy and Muslims, they do not go hand in hand. These things do not play well together. After years of Western aid spent building it, the Afghan state is suddenly at risk of collapsing, just as American troops are leaving. Ah, what a wise use of our money and children's blood. What do you think, Glenn?
Well, the thing with the election is apparently they've contracted with the Voters News Service, the outfit here in the U.S. that handles all the, you know, vote tabulation. So, you know, so naturally they brought their same ethic to vote counting to them.
You know, in America, we clearly have a significant amount of voter fraud. Most of the voter fraud, though, in America is really, I don't think on the, I mean, we have no way of knowing because it's all electronic now. And so
not everywhere.
Yeah, I know, but mostly it's electronic. And so it's the ease of running a program that mistabulates votes is very high. So, I mean, I don't vote. I don't care who wins. So it doesn't matter much to me. But the biggest issue in American voting is really quite different than this. One is that we're actually bribing, and it's legal in America to bribe people to vote. You can say, if you go vote, I will give you this much money, and I will take you and buy you a meal. And so, for example, the most recent Los Angeles County elections, a disproportionate number of the voters were actually bribed to vote. And the other is that most people who are voting haven't got a clue what the issues are. So the idea of voting when you're clueless is stupid.
Well, there's something even, I think, bigger at work than mere vote fraud, because, you know, my whole time growing up, I first voted at age 18. You know, I had to choose between a B-movie actor and a peanut farmer for the president, so that was a pretty good thing to begin with. And but this notion that every time there's an election, it's like a nip and tuck, a nose-to-nose horse race, that it's always within a couple percentage points. That's not typically how elections work. Usually, with honest campaigning, someone emerges as the poll favorite, and usually the election correlates relatively close with the poll.
Absolutely. Look at Richard Nixon and McGovern. I mean, Richard Nixon was such a bastion of morality and such a likable guy. It's easy to see how that was the last landslide election that we had between the two of them.
Don't you know?
So we had Richard Nixon beating McGovern in a landslide. That doesn't say much for McGovern when Richard Nixon beat you in a landslide.
He was a dog checkers. He was not a crook.
I'm not a crook. Okay.
This idea. In most elections, whether you're talking about student council in school or the local mayor or the governor or president, usually over the course of the election, one person emerges relatively clear. But this whole fake, these fake elections where everything is a nose, down the wire, it's all a secretariat. It's just great.
It's not secretariat by 26 length, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. But in Afghanistan, they have a very, very serious problem. It appears that the entire country is about ready to collapse. In fact, this impasse now is so grave in Afghanistan, they're considering imposing an interim government, which is tantamount to a coup. And, of course, Lurch, Secretary of State John Kerry, he's been over there 4 or 5 times, trying to hold hands, sing songs, and get them have an integrated government. Now, these are two people that have used their militias to go and kill one another's election workers, campaign workers. And so John Kerry said, oh, no, don't worry about that. You just all hold hands and you form a unified government. It'll be just fine. Now,
he's Rodney King, too. Can't we all just get along here? It's pathetic. And this is the pathetic thinking of these, of these people in American government where, they took all the 20th century to secularize and emasculate the American populace and dumb them down to being this blob of, conciliatory, uncommitted, unthinking, sheeple that can be herded about. That is not the way things are in these other countries. And these naive fools think that they can play the same game with all these greatly impassioned and terrorized and violent people.
Correct. And in a place like Afghanistan, where either you side with the Taliban or you're dead, there are some courageous people who will oppose them. And they're few and far between. But to think that in Afghanistan you're going to somehow find a large cross-section of people that are willing to risk their lives to have a backbone, to stand up against evil, it's totally and completely naive. Well, anyway, the interviews in Afghanistan and with international officials all support the most serious of Abdullah's accusations, and that it appears that a broad effort to perpetrate vote fraud completely jeopardized that last election, and that there is not only no way to tell who prevailed, but there's no way to have a new election nor any value of a vote recount. And so they're at a crossroads where there is no solution. The mechanisms in place are incapable of providing a fair and honest election, and there is no no solution besides that, because we've taken away the dictator and tried to replace it with democracy, but democracy doesn't work in an Islamic society where lying, cheating, and stealing are considered virtues.
Well, Saddam Hussein and Muammar Gaddafi are perfect illustrations of the fact that these people groups do best when they have a relatively even-handed despotic dictator in place who's going to put the kibosh on the excesses over here and the excesses over there and keep the violent groups separate and everything.
Mubarak of Egypt, he was a scumbag. Just like Gaddafi was a scumbag, just like Saddam Hussein was a scumbag. And yet, not only was the world, but the citizens of those countries were almost universally better off when those despots were in charge.
Right. But when they took out Muammar Gaddafi, it was a death sentence for tens of thousands of blacks in Libya.
Yes. And it was it turned Libya into a
killing field.
This vast killing field of competitive jihadi groups. In fact, some of the jihadi groups now in Libya are actually flying fighter aircraft and bombing the airport and bombing the capital. And the same, you look at what happened when these dictators were removed from power in these countries. Musharraf in Pakistan, another scumbag. But how much better Pakistan and the world was when Musharraf was the dictator over it? Just like the case of Egypt, as was the case of Libya, as was the case of Iraq.
The jihadis can comprehend the operation of a three-dimensional travel in an aircraft.
It is indeed amazing. But America has spent a lot of money training Muslims to fly its most sophisticated weaponry. Now, when they come up against Jews, the Jews will outnumbered 100 to 1, outnumbered 500 to 1, outnumbered 1,000 to 1. The Zionist guidance systems will prevail, but yet when they're not being chased by Zionists, then the Muslim pilots, I guess, are able to bomb Libya. We don't have any photographers there. They're all kidnapped these days, but that's what they tell us. We'll be back with Shattering Myths and Glenn after the commercial break. Even CNN is now reporting that there are some discrepancies in the shocking video of James Foley being beheaded. Now, CNN begins, the shocking video of James Foley being beheaded in Syria has set off multiple investigations into the mystery of who killed the American journalist. Now, let me tell you something, folks. The video is not shocking. There's nothing shocking in the video. The video is not grotesque. It's not gruesome. But nobody wants you to see it. Now, the other thing that's really interesting here is that the Brits and Americans are just fixated on who was the speaker in the video, the actor. As if it matters. That's kind of like doing an investigation of the Holocaust and wanting to know who dropped the cyanide tablets into the showers. That's so irrelevant compared to the religious and political mantra that was Nazism. Islam is the killer. I can tell you, Islam is the killer. That's the only thing you ought to pay any attention to. A fixation on an individual is completely and totally misguided. All it will do is draw attention away from what actually didn't occur. Now, the article goes on. U.S. analysts said it's not knowable from the video released by the Islamic State who carried out Foley's killing, because the entire slain is not shown. Actually, none of the slain is shown. A man moves a knife across Foley's neck. not even cutting it. Then the picture fades to black. Now, one forensics expert has raised the issue that there appear to be two militants in black behind Foley, not one. It's one of several puzzles, but there are a number of clues as to who committed the horrible act. Ross Petal, a forensic expert who spoke to CNN, said there is another man and he might be the actual killer. Actually, there was no killer. The second militant appears on the video after an obvious edit. You see, the fellow in black who is the speaker, there's two of them. There's definitely a change of actor, Petal said. The changes are noticeable. They are subtle, yes, but yes, noticeable changes in their build, in their physical appearance, in their height, in their girth. The man who speaks holds a knife in one of his hands, and yet it looks to be different than the knife that was left next to Foley's body. The dimensions and style of the knives are different as well. When trying to determine whether the British-accented man is also the killer, it helps to determine where his pistol is holstered, and it's underneath his left armpit. But yet he's using his right hand in the video to hold the knife across Foley's neck. Why would that happen? Why would a left-handed individual hold the knife in his right hand? Well, what they're doing here, of course, is analyzing the video and watching the video. It's obvious. I mean, it's obvious that it's a fraud, and it's almost cartoonish. It's so obvious that it's a fraud. And anybody with any forensics expertise, anybody with any cinematography background, knows instantly that the thing was a fraud. And, of course, those like IQ Al-Rasuli and myself who have studied Islam and have witnessed many scores or hundreds of these beheading videos know that this one is wholly unlike the others, which means that it didn't actually occur. But even CNN is now reporting that there are some very concerning anomalies in that video. What do you think, Glenn? Do you think they'll ever figure it out? Do you think they actually know?
Well, I think they already know. Again, but some being invertebrate word weasels, they're not going to tell the truth.
Right. Why wouldn't they tell the truth? Why is this to their advantage not to tell the truth?
Oh, because while they need this to, justify airstrikes, basically.
Correct.
I mean,
because,
we
tried to rescue Zoroastrians, and we found a few people up there herding sheep who were very thankful for the water and food that we dropped, a year's supply. We're now arming the Kurds, but if we want to go play G.I. Joe in Syria, we need the Syrians to have killed an American. And so we have this wonderful video, except Foley is not actually killed in the video. But it suits their purpose. I told you it would happen. I told you it would happen the moment that I saw the fake assassination of James Foley, that America would use it as a pretext to engage in Syria. The following stories are all affirmations that that is going to occur. America's top defense officials left open the possibility of targeting fighters with the so-called Islamic State, saying that during a news briefing Tuesday that it was not enough just to hit the extremist group in Iraq. By the way, they're not an extremist group. They're a fundamentalist group. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel and General Martin Dempsey, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, ever enthralled about the idea of re-engaging the U.S. military, stopped short of calling for U.S. military action in Syria, a Islamic State stronghold. Quote, can they be defeated without addressing that part of the organization that resides in Syria? The answer is no, Dempsey said during the briefing at the Pentagon. That will have to be addressed on both sides of what essentially at this point is a non-existent border. You know, the American military presence in Iraq is what created the Islamic State. The reemergence of the U.S. military in Iraq and in Syria will only feed the Islamic State. It's been an axiom for as long as I've studied history that the surest way to embolden a foe is to go to war against that foe. And there are very few foes that you can defeat with war. And there are no religious foes that can be defeated with weapons of war. We are literally playing into the Islamic State's hands. We took a nobody preacher, Ibrahim al-Baghdadi, and we turned him into the most powerful Islamic terrorist militia leader in the world, to a head of state, through the use of the U.S. military in Iraq. Yeah. And now we're going to engage in Syria. Glenn, think of the stupidity of that. I mean, we are now going to attack the militias in Syria that we have been arming to bring down Assad, and now we're going to be bombing on behalf of Assad.
Wow. I know, it's crazy, but this, again, the result of Hegelian duopoly. But I've got my contrarian hat on.
Okay.
And so someone might point out to you that in, I believe it was 720, Charles Martel turned back to Muslims at France. Was it Tours?
Uh-huh.
We saw the Muslims overrun Spain and Portugal and then invade France and then finally turned back by Charles Martel. So someone who might say it's not futile to resist, resistance is not futile. It just takes, things have to come to a critical mass point, perhaps before actually gaining a decision.
Yeah, and clearly the assault on Europe was slowed for a considerable period of time by that battle. The Muslims were prevailing. They destroyed all of Northern Africa, Eastern Africa. They ransacked everything from India to the coast of Turkey, and they were off the coast of Italy. They weren't actually defeated there. They just ran out of steam there. But in the Battle of Tours, they were definitely turned back. Now, if you look at Europe, of course, the Balkans are still heavily affected with Muslims, so they weren't actually defeated. The big problem with the Balkans now is the huge population of Muslims throughout that region. But in addition to that, look at what's happened to England. Look what's happened to France. Look what's happened to the Scandinavian, Norwegian countries. Look what's happened to Germany with the huge influx of Muslims. Yeah, he slowed them for a while. They're back. They're infecting the world as we speak. So, yeah, they were slowed. And, a lot of times, by the way, you look at both the Persians who tried to defeat them in a conventional war, and the Persians lost. And then the Byzantines, who tried to prevent them from conquering them using conventional war tactics, they lost too. For the most part, bullets and bombs, spears and arrows, javelins, don't work. The number of cases where they don't prevail and they make matters worse are far greater than the places where they do prevail. I don't think anyone ever successfully combated Tamerlane, for example. Now, the Russians were able to deter the Ottoman Empire during World War I, and they retreated, of course, and committed genocide on the Christians in eastern Turkey on their way back. In the process of fighting them, the Russian government, you know, lost its ability to even recruit and maintain an army, and certainly crumbled, and thereafter crumbled. And that's when we had the Bolshevik Revolution. So yeah, there are some examples where a religious enemy has been turned back by weapons of war, but they are few and far between.
Yeah, the Crusades were actually effective to a great degree, and far fewer in number than the Muslim battles. When you look at, I recently heard of a comparison between Muslim battles and warfare compared to the Crusades. As much as the Crusades are vilified, they were small potatoes compared to Islamic conquests over, conquests over the centuries.
The Crusades were really small potatoes. They weren't small potatoes on behalf of the Muslim armies, but the number of Crusaders who volunteered to go off and wield the cross against the Crescent were very, very few.
And the number of actual battles weren't that great.
It was really insignificant.
But I look at this seemingly deliberate facilitation of the inundation of Europe by Muslims and the inundation of America by Hispanics, and part of me actually wonders, now this is highly speculative and possibly dismissible, but I wonder, you know, these manipulators like to think that they can mind control everybody.
Right.
And Europe is where all of the infrastructure is for all the major media and the television and radio and internet. And America is where all the media is for, you know, TV and all that sort of thing. And I'm actually wondering if they aren't trying to change their cultures by inundating them into these areas and then having them sit down with a bag of chips and a beer, pizza and beer, and be brainwashed by the media. Because it does seem to be like a deliberate Hegelian cultural melting pot brainwashing thing.
I do think there is some success in America, perhaps outside of the high concentration areas around Falls Church, Virginia, Detroit, Michigan, and Tampa, Florida, and I think there's some places in Oregon. But apart from the high concentration of Muslims, America has made a real effort and has done some serious integration where Muslims in America have been brainwashed into speaking of their religion in wholly inaccurate terms. That is not the case in Europe.
Right.
That is just not the case in Europe. Muslims in Europe do not integrate.
They show ISIS, IS people handing out, you know, recruitment stuff on the streets of European cities.
Correct. Yes. There's a new story now about the number of Brits, Muslim Brits, in the Islamic State, fighting for the Islamic State, versus those fighting in the army of the UK. And it's hugely disproportionate. So in Europe, there are tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of fundamentalist Muslims who have left Europe to go fight in Syria and in Iraq. And in America, the number is probably in the handful of thousands. So,
but that's okay, because they have a great big GCHQ building to track their cell phones with. So no problem.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we... This is one of the places where I began to recognize this has been the case about 12 years ago. But when it comes to knowing what's going on in the fundamentalist Islamic world, America's clueless. Our NSA does not work. You know, we justify the NSA to protect us against terrorism, and yet the NSA is completely and totally ineffective when it comes to Islamic terrorism. And the reason is that jihadis do not communicate using the kinds of electronic messages and mechanisms that the NSA scours. All of their most important communiques are back on paper. It's like Putin. Putin does not use telephones to communicate. He reads things, and then he writes on paper because he knows that, you know, the United States is spying on everything that everybody does apart from that. That's what's happened in the Islamic world. And when they do want to recruit publicly, they do so in plain sight on the internet. And you don't need an NSA to look at the internet. So
right.
We are absolutely clueless. The FBI, the CIA, the NSA, Homeland Security, all of those organizations are clueless as to how many American Muslims are engaged with the Islamic State. And what we don't even know, that what differentiates al-Nusra from the Islamic State anymore. We can't differentiate between the awakening program that we sponsored and the Islamic State. We can't differentiate between the Shia militias that were so savage to Americans while Americans were in Iraq and Iran, the militias of Iran.
Now, the important thing is that they know that I'm talking to you on the phone right now and cleaning eradicates. They have to know.
They do know that. Yeah, they absolutely know that because you have been the first to actually declare them to be a new species, to be a word weasel, and they're after you. I would expect that the drones will soon be, and not just average drones, these will be armed drones, will be flying above your home. I would advise those living nearby to evacuate because you have exposed a new species. Repeatedly pushed by reporters about whether this meant that operations against the Islamic State would be conducted in Syria, Hagel said, "We're looking into all options. They are just beyond a terrorist group. They marry ideology, a sophistication of strategic and tactical military prowess," Hagel said. "This is beyond anything that we have seen, and we must be prepared for everything. And the only way to do that is you have to take a cold, steely, hard look at it and get ready." I guess that's what these new invertebrates are doing. They marry ideology. What ideology might that be? I bet they're Baptists. You think they're Zoroastrians? Maybe they're Hindus. They marry ideology. Why can't the Secretary of Defense say they marry Islam and a sophistication of strategic and tactical military operations? Why don't they say they're marrying Islam with the damn awakening program that Petraeus created that put weapons back in the hands of the Sunnis that had been integrated into Saddam Hussein's government? And so they know how to operate as a military because that backfired on us. And what we're really doing here is fighting Islam. That's the ideology that is motivating them. Now, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, I said on this program that the Islamic State is beyond anything we've ever seen. It is the richest, the best armed, the most effective, largest, most popular Islamic terrorist organization in the history of mankind. And I also said that at its peak, Al-Qaeda, while America was renting them in the proxy war in first Afghanistan, at its peak, Al-Qaeda was less than 1/1,000th, maybe even 1/1,000,000th, as powerful, as effective, as popular as the Islamic State is today. We created a monster here. And when you consider the amount of spilled coin and spilled blood that America has squandered facing a meaningless foe in Al-Qaeda, and now we have the Islamic State, and you just think of the carnage, the waste of life, the waste of money, the empowerment of military that's going to be squandered as a result of this, and all for a non-existent execution. Speaking at a town hall meeting in Arizona, the Republican Senator John McClown, who has advocated for strikes against the Islamic State in Syria, John just loves a war, said the extremists were an enemy that must be defeated, not stopped, but defeated. It is a cancer which has spread throughout the region and can spread into Europe and to the United States of America, McClown said. Yeah, John, the cancer is Islam. And you were the biggest sponsor of providing that cancer with weapons. It's your responsibility, John. Owned up to it. Just 2 weeks ago, a top Defense Department official acknowledged that U.S. airstrikes in Iraq are unlikely to affect the Islamic militants' overall capabilities or their operations elsewhere in Iraq and Syria. Now, this report 2 weeks ago, the Obama administration, who was at the time playing golf on Martha's Vineyard, reiterated that the U.S. was pursuing limited military objectives in Iraq and that there would be no American military solution, nor would America go beyond just helping the Iraqi government, and that every act we would conduct would be in support of a new inclusive government in Baghdad. That was just 2 weeks ago. And now look where we are. For weeks, the Islamic State in Iraq has launched offenses against the Taqaba airbase in Raqqa, the Syrian regime's last remaining military point in the province, which is now largely controlled by the Islamic State. For the Syrian army, it provides a base from which to launch strikes against ISIS targets, part of a promise made by Bashar al-Assad to take it back from the Sunni extremist group. For the Islamic State, it would yield a bounty of additional weapons and equipment and eliminate the regime's air threat against its flagship city. Over the weekend, they prevailed. This is getting worse, not better. We'll be back after the break.